welcome back to another episode of the Creative Juicebox podcast. If this is your first episode, then welcome to the podcast. My name is Hannah. It's nice to meet you. I am a New York City-based portrait photographer, and this is a show where I help creative people connect with themselves so that ultimately it can help them create the work of their dreams, because that's why we're here, right? It's just me on this week's episode. I hope you guys have enjoyed the last couple of weeks of interviews. I personally really enjoyed doing them, even though the technical aspect of it was very challenging for me. My cat was biting my feet the whole time and scratching at the door, but we got through it, and I think both the conversations are awesome. So if you haven't listened to them yet, I highly recommend checking out those episodes. The first one is with my friend Amber, who's a wedding photographer based in Virginia. We talked about how she infuses magic into her art, and she talks a lot about why she's very called to magic and how you see that reflected in her artwork. And then last week, I talked with my friend Eliza about having a 9-to-5 and balancing that with a creative business, which if you listen to this podcast, you know, that's something I also really struggle with because I also have a 9-to-5. So Eliza is a very talented elopement and engagement photographer based in Pittsburgh, and she's also a specialist in SEO, a multi-talented queen. So again, if you haven't checked out those episodes, go do so. But all that's to say, this week is just going to be a solo episode, and it might be a little bit shorter because, you guys, I'm kind of busy. I feel like I'm running around a lot, and that feeling is something I haven't really done over the last few months, but starting this week, I feel like I'm picking up with the warm weather, and I want to be moving around and doing stuff. And that's actually sort of what I wanted to talk about as this week's episode topic, because I feel like I've been going on a lot of side quests recently. And by that, I mean I am veering outside of what I normally consider to be my life and what I do as a daily routine, and even what I usually do creatively. And I do something completely different just to kind of try it and push myself and see where it goes. So to start, I kind of wanted to give you all a little update because I did mention in my Creative New Year's Resolutions episode that there's a few things I wanted to try doing this year. And I'm looking at the calendar, and we're already in the third month of the year. So have I been sticking to those things? Let's give a little update. The answer is yes. I think most of them I have been doing a very decent job at the very least just chipping away at. The biggest one I wanted to give an update on, though, was that I am officially running a half marathon at the end of April. Yeehaw. I'm terrified. But also, I feel like this is something that I never expected myself to do until the idea kind of crept into my head when I was watching the marathon in November, and I just was like, that seems really cool, although 26 miles doesn't feel correct to me. What feels better is 13 miles, so I am training for that. And I've been training for a little over a month now. I still have over a month to go, so I'm about at the halfway point. And it's been going really well. I feel like I'm back in the groove of running that I was in back in high school when I did cross country every day. I'm definitely not running quite as much or pushing myself as much, which is good because I don't want to get injured again. But the thing that kind of surprised me about it was that when it became a priority and when it became something that I not only was investing in, not just because it costs kind of a lot of money to sign up for a race like this, but also because I'm investing in this goal that I have rather than just having the arbitrary idea of running more. I have a goal and I have a date and I have a distance that I have to run by that date. So I feel like having that as a priority made it a lot easier for me to make time for it. And I think it's very silly because every year I would talk about how I had so much trouble running and finding the time to run because I didn't have the time. When would I have time to leave the house before the sun goes down and run and then get back and have time to shower and eat and do everything that you have to do after you work out? I just felt like I was too busy for it. But the silly little thing that happens when you prioritize something is that you make time for it. This feels pretty simple to me, but it's been an interesting awakening to realize I always had the time. I just had to reprioritize. So that's going well. The other reason I've been able to make more time for running is because I have been spending way less time on social media. I am kind of over social media currently at this moment in life. I feel like every time I open an app, I see an ad, I'm not seeing my friends' posts. When I am seeing posts, I feel like they're all just following trends. And even when I do see something that I really like, it's still not really worth opening the app to scroll and find what I want to see, you know? I feel like my algorithm is getting worse. And then I guess the less that I spend on that app, the worse it gets, because then it has less data to use to serve me the content I want. I don't know. Overall, I've been feeling much better about spending less time on social media. I have cut it down drastically. And I did mention in my New Year's episode that I was going to spend less than 2 hours a day on my phone, which just, I can't even fathom how I would do that, because when it comes to screen time, most of my apps are like texting people, mapping myself on the subway, playing Pokemon Go. That's another thing. I've been replacing all my social media time with Pokemon, and it's been way better. I feel like I'm in 2016 again, but I was so addicted to Pokemon Go in 2016. It was all I did. But I've found just the perfect combination of having to go running and also getting the Pokemon Go benefits, because it gives you all these rewards and gives you more Pokemon when you walk more. And genuinely, I feel like Pokemon Go is one of the reasons not only I've been able to get off of social media a lot. When I open up my app in the morning, I check to see if there's a literal Pokemon in my apartment. But also, when I'm not feeling like running that day, I know that my walk to the park, I can catch so many Pokemon. So let's just go and catch them. So I guess as far as my resolutions go, I'm doing a pretty good job. I'm definitely not doing all of them, specifically reading all the books on my shelf. I've barely even started that one. But, you know, we're 3 months into the year. There's still time. I'm tackling a couple at a time and then moving on to the next one. And I'm excited. So anyways, all that is to say, side quests, I feel like, have been very good for me mentally and as a way to kind of come back to myself and show myself that the routines and the things that I just considered to be my hobbies don't always have to be what I'm doing 24/7 for the rest of my life. And I bring this up because I wish myself, even 2 years ago, but especially 3-4 years ago, could listen to me talking about hobbies today. Because when I lived by myself in Michigan a couple years ago, I was in my own apartment by myself for 2 years, and all I did was work my 9-to-5 and work on my photography business. And while I really loved that, there was a moment that I kind of hit and I realized this is my life. And when I consider what I do for fun and what my hobbies are and like what my life is, I considered my personal life to be my business. And that is still work. That was a source of income for me. So my personal life and my business kind of became one. And I didn't really have any hobbies outside of it because I loved photography so much, but I also feel like it was really at the detriment of all of my other interests. And I think this time a couple years ago, I just hit a point where I wanted to stop doing photography as a business for a little bit and really just work on my creativity. And I also was in this weird period where I knew I was going to move to New York, but my plan was for it to be at the end of that year. So what was I going to do in Michigan for 10 months when a lot of my friends had moved away? But also if I wanted to meet new people, I would have to do so knowing I was going to leave. And overall, it was kind of a weird one foot in, one foot out mentality that I had. So I thought, oh, this is just maybe a good time for me to experiment with new hobbies and learn about what else I can be doing with my life. So I started collaging more. I started picking up music again and playing a lot more songs. I started taking vocal lessons, which was kind of fun. I didn't make a ton of progress, but it was interesting to kind of learn about singing. And at some point throughout this process, I heard of the concept of the three hobbies that everyone should have. And I started to live by this, especially these days, coming back to 2024. I feel like I'm starting to really embody this as the way that I live and breathe and just generally approach my hobbies, because I never want to get to a point where my one thing is just my one thing. I've always been somebody who really likes to have multiple eggs in multiple baskets so that it helps me live a more well-balanced life, but also I don't get bored. I think I kind of burned out on my photography business because it was pretty much all I thought about. It was all I was looking at on social media. I was doing shoots all the time. I was working on my business when I wasn't doing that. And I was just kind of living in this cycle. I think side quests, not even just side hustles, just a side quest, just going off and doing something different, I think can be a very important balance, especially when you feel like you're being all consumed by the creative process. So, what are the three hobbies that everyone should have? The three hobbies are one to make you money, one to keep you in shape, and one to keep you creative. So, obviously, there is a time and place for the creativity, but there's also other parts of life that we should be incorporating too into the creative process, because life is a creative process. And I kind of like to think about this going back to just the concept of side quests. I've talked a lot about how the creative process is kind of like the hero's journey. And the hero's journey is this narrative where, in most hero stories, the hero goes through various stages of development and self-actualization, and then comes out a new person on the other side after they've gone through all these trials and tribulations with the help of a guide and with a quest, and they want something and they want to find something. And then along the way of finding it, that's when they actually become the person they're meant to be. So when it comes to the creative process, that's usually how this goes too. We can have people helping us along the way. We can learn things along the way. We can make mistakes. And often, no matter if we get to the actual end result that we had envisioned at the beginning, we have changed, we have learned, we have made something in the process. So if the creative process is the hero's journey, then when the hero goes off and does something else, they're on a side quest. They want something else for a second, and then they come back to their main quest, and then they continue on. And so I think of these side quests as the three hobbies. I think the three hobbies can really be a good foundation for the overall creative process of your life. But also, I think if there's even a project that you're working on right now, or you're stuck creatively, I think these hobbies can really help you get unstuck. Because if you're not making movement in this area of your life right now, you will always have another area to kind of focus on and then have the energy to come back to the thing you were working on before. So I kind of just want to walk through these three hobbies, give you some ideas for them, talk about why they're important, and then share a little bit about how I do it. So the first hobby is one to make you money. Shocker. I feel like everybody on the internet's talking about side hustles these days. And I think for good reason. I'm usually of the mindset that if you have a creative hobby, you shouldn't feel like you have to monetize it. And I do feel like that. I really do. I think there are some things that you really can make good money off of if you enjoy it. And I stand by doing photography as a business, as long as I also have it as something that keeps me creative too. But I really can't lie. Doing photography as a business through college is one of the reasons I felt financially stable enough to move out after college. Of course, I wasn't doing it full-time, and so I definitely wasn't making full-time money. But at the very least, doing it during college or doing it while you have another part-time job on the side, I feel like is such a unique opportunity, especially when you're young, because it's kind of this realization that, oh, I can do this thing that I love and also use it as a way to make money and make income, maybe for the first time in your life. So I definitely stand by that. I definitely love having a photography business. I do love doing photography for fun too, but I think it all kind of funnels into each other. And the most fun that I have is when I'm able to do a photo shoot that I love and a client's paying me for it. Both of those things can be true. And also, it's tough out here. The economy feels bad. I feel like everything has doubled in price since even this time last year. So at the very least, I feel like having an extra stream of income gives you so much mental peace, I feel. Because if you have a side hustle and you have a full-time job, for example, if something were to happen, if you were to get laid off from that full-time job, instead of having to scramble to find another job and have no income, you could rely on your side hustle for a little bit. And that's something that you've already built and can lean on if you ever need to. So it's just something to keep in mind. I think you can monetize your hobbies and have it be healthy. I definitely wouldn't recommend monetizing a hobby that you just do for yourself and you don't want to do for clients and you don't want to do commissions. That's something that I would keep to yourself, and keep is just something that keeps you creative. But if there's something that you love doing, you are good at, and you would be open to doing for other people, especially if other people have a need or a desire for that thing, it can be really fun. I personally loved building my business. I learned a lot. I'm still learning a lot. I'm still building it. I'm still in the thick of it. But it really is a nice thing to have on the side of whatever else you're doing, just as a little peace of mind, because it's tough out here. Also, I guess I should also note, this doesn't have to be monetizing your creative hobbies all the time. It could be just having a hobby that makes you money. So, for example, after college, I signed up for this doula training course. And if you don't know what a doula is, it's kind of like someone who is your advocate during childbirth. They're not a doctor, they're not a medical professional, but they're more so somebody who knows about childbirth and can help you through it, basically. So I was really interested in it and I signed up for this course. I did not end up finishing it because I got my full-time job, but that is more of an example of something that I would have done just because of my interest in it, and it could make me money on the side if I wanted to. Some ideas could be upcycling furniture. I feel like that's a little bit more creative. Or even like just offering freelance consulting services for whatever you do in your full-time job. If you have a different job that is not completely creative, there's a lot of options. But a little bit of extra money, a little bit of extra security is pretty good, I gotta say. Okay, hobby number two is a hobby to keep you in shape. And this is the one, obviously, that I've struggled with for quite some time because I never wanted to make time to exercise. And I can't speak on this as like an expert because I did mention I've only been doing this consistently for a month, but I've also kind of expanded my idea of what a fitness hobby looks like. In just the past couple of weeks, actually, I signed up for the free trial of ClassPass, and I think they have it in a lot of major cities. I'm not sure if they have it everywhere, but ClassPass is basically this subscription service where you pay to get a certain amount of credits every month, and you can use those credits at virtually every fitness studio that's a part of the network in your city. So instead of buying all of these separate subscriptions to like spin class or Pilates or Zumba or yoga, you can pick and choose and just go to individual classes through ClassPass. And there's all of these different discounts that they have, and everything just costs different credits. So you don't feel like you have to just sign up for one place. And that's something I really liked because I always hated paying for individual fitness classes when I went to them in college. I never went frequently enough to pay monthly for a certain amount of classes, but also one single-use class was always so much more expensive. So I'm really liking ClassPass. Also, they give you a lot of credits as part of the free trial. I think in the last 2 weeks, I've gone to two SoulCycle classes, which are expensive. And also, I had a lot of fun. I don't want that to sound culty because I know SoulCycle's like a cult, but it was really fun. It's like you're at a nightclub and you're on a bike. Like, it's really cool. I went to a Green Day versus the Killers themed SoulCycle class, and like it's just a different experience when you're biking to 21 Guns. It's silly. But anyways, those were fun. And then I went to a cat yoga class, which is run by the Brooklyn Cat Cafe. So they have all of their adoptable cats roaming around the cafe, and in the back room is the yoga class, and so all of the cats come in and out. We have toys while we're doing yoga. Some of them like lay on your stomach while you're doing Shavasana. It's really something. It was really fun. I think everybody got kind of distracted by the cats, but it was really chill. So there was that. I also went to a Pure Barre class, which was cool. And then I have Zumba coming up. All of these I got to go to for free with the ClassPass free trial. Crazy. That's like at least $150, I think, if I'm doing the math correctly. So maybe check and see if it's in your city and you can try it out, because I highly recommend. And also, when you pay for the monthly subscription service, you can also use your credits to book like massages or facials or pedicures. So if there's one month when you're like, I don't want to work out, but I don't want to cancel my subscription, you can treat yourself to a massage. This episode is not sponsored by ClassPass. Haha, unless. So that's just one idea for the fitness hobby. Some other ones I think that I didn't really consider to be in this category are like things that are keeping your mental health in check. I think that still counts. So for me, my journaling / tarot reading process that I do, that has really helped me. Or like reading or meditating, I think that counts too. And even things like cooking, I feel like that is still things that are keeping you in shape, but also kind of are good for your mental health too. Let's move on to hobby number three. One to keep you creative. I want to mention that the hobby, like the side quest of being creative, I think I am just going to argue right now that this is a hobby away from what you consider to be your main creative outlet. So for me, my main creative outlet is photography. And so the thing that I do as a creative hobby is something that doesn't make me money and is something that I intentionally do as a hobby alone. And that is primarily music. I think it fluctuates a lot. Like in middle school, for example, my main outlet was doing my nails really pretty. I would literally spend hours every night doing little nail art on my nails, like painting little kiwi fruits and like angry birds on my nails. That was really big. And then I got really into writing for fun in high school. And then that was when I got into photography later. So this is something that can kind of fluctuate, but I would really push yourself to consider this to be just a creative hobby outside of what you usually do. Because if we're thinking about like the average person who might not consider themselves to be creative, they're not making art all the time, the creative hobby on the side is something new for them. It's something that is pushing them out of their comfort zone. And so as creative people, this one feels like, oh, easy, I'm creative all the time. Check, you know, checking off the list. But actually, I think this should still serve the same purpose as with anyone else, regardless of how much art they're making otherwise. So for me, like I said, music, I play the guitar, I sing, I write songs, I do covers, I experiment with new things and new instruments. That's really fun for me. But also, recently, I picked up crocheting and knitting again. I used to knit a lot when I was younger, and then recently, in the last couple of months, I picked up crocheting. I am still very bad at it, and I think that is kind of the purpose of just keeping creative, doing things that are creative regardless of how good you are at them. Some other ideas include collaging. I've had a couple of collage nights since I moved here. That's been really fun. I would say even like decorating your house or your room, DIYing things for your apartment. I think that all counts as things that keep you creative and are not usually what you would consider to be your creative outlet, but are still another creative outlet. It's just the side quest version of it. And I think this might go without saying, but I also want to say this is the thing that you do not make money from. This is something that is purely a hobby. I stand very firmly that this one and the first category should not overlap. Or at the very least, there should be a good distinction between them. So for example, my thing that makes me money is photography, but it's specifically digital photography for clients. And so I have this other section of photography, film photography, that I do in a very different way. And I had to learn how to shoot film. I had to learn different things about my camera. And the way that I shoot on film is very different from the way that I photograph clients. Because my film camera is something I bring with me during my everyday life, and I use it to capture my life in an artistic way. But I don't make any money from film. I don't plan on making any money from film. I share my film photos sometimes on my photography account, but it's not something that I offer to clients or make any money from. It's actually quite an expensive hobby to keep up. Like, maybe I should chill out on the film photography for a little bit, because it's a lot. So, all that is to say, my little exercise for you is to write down just some ideas of things that you could do in each category. These could be things that you've already done, things that you've done in the past and kind of stopped doing, or things that you've never done before, maybe never even considered doing before. You can put some crazy ones on there and then just not do them, and that's okay. But just putting together a giant list of options that you can have when you're feeling either creatively blocked or creatively burnt out, or just kind of bored with everyday life, that's also valid. I think for me, the two things I really struggled with when it came to having hobbies and keeping up with them was, one, not making them feel like a chore, and two, actually making time for them. And what I kind of want to leave you with here is that a hobby is whatever you consider it to be. It doesn't have to be something that you usually consider to be a hobby. Like, you don't have to run a half marathon in order to just start exercising. Like, going on a walk after work could still be a hobby to me. And I feel like writing them all out and just seeing how many options you have, I think not only helps you just visualize all of the things that you could possibly do, but also I think it's a lot easier to point out the one that you actually feel like doing in that moment. If I'm looking at a list of creative things, my answer of which one I want to do that day is always going to change, but it might not occur to me if I don't have this list in front of me looking at all of my options. But if you are looking at that list and you're like, oh, I could totally go on a walk right now, or oh, I could totally paint my nails right now, that sounds really fun, I think that is one way of making it feel less like a chore. And you don't just have to have one hobby in every category. I feel like it can definitely change depending on how you're feeling, what you want to do. There's literally no rules. I keep saying there's no rules, but there really are not any rules to this. You can do a hobby for one day and then never pick it up again. That's also okay. But I feel like the more options you have, or the options that you allow yourself to consider, the more likely it is that you'll find something that doesn't feel like a chore, even if it's just at that one moment. And then when it comes to making time for it, I want to just go back to what I said earlier, is that if this is a priority to you, you will make time for it. I don't really buy into the, I just don't have time. You really have to just rephrase that and say, this is not a high enough priority for me to make the time. You can make the time for anything, genuinely anything. When I moved to New York, I did not think I was going to have time to start a podcast, but this has been a really cool hobby for me to have as a creative outlet because I'm prioritizing it. Same with a half marathon. I did not think going into this year I would have any time to add training for a half marathon onto everything else. And yet, it turns out that deprioritizing time on my phone equals more time that I can prioritize for running. So it might even be worthwhile to just make a little priority list of what you are willing to make time for and what you aren't willing to make time for. But I don't have time is no longer an excuse. And I'm going to stick to that one. Just a side note on that too, if you are having trouble making time for things that are really important to you, but you feel like you're struggling to prioritize it and actually do it every day, I highly recommend the book called Make Time, How to Focus on What Matters Every Day. It is a very actionable book about what you actually want to do and how to basically reframe your day around if that thing gets done, then it's a successful day. I also talked a little bit more about this book in my Books That Changed My Life episode. I will link that in the show notes, but that's just a little further reading for you. It's also a really short book, so you can probably get through it very fast. AKA, I know you can make time to read it. You definitely can. All right. Well, that brings us to the end of the episode. I just kind of want to summarize and say that it's very healthy to have other outlets in this life. When you are spending time on something that's not your main focus of your art, it's not necessarily taking away from it. I think it's actually helping you rebalance and reprioritize and actually just step away from the desk for a little bit so that you can be recharged when you come back to it. I truly think we should all be going on side quests. I think they're really exciting and interesting and sometimes very silly, like me running around and playing Pokemon Go in the year 2024. But it is what it is. This year is turning out to be something completely different than I thought, and in a good way. So I'm going to wrap it up there. Thank you for tuning into another episode of the Creative Juicebox Podcast. Go create something today, get a juicebox if you want, and I will see you in the next episode.